Oh, yes. Thank God. Finally. Welcome back to the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. It's our final hour, and what a special hour it is. Oh, look at the pictures if you're streaming on Stadium. Have you ever seen a more perfect couple? This is our royalty. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, engaged. We will discuss the engagement heard round the world yesterday. Then in 20 minutes, we'll actually stick to football. Continue previewing the Big Ten with Jake Butt, the former Michigan tight end. Donkster Best Bets at 8:40. Once again, I said it once, I'll say it again. Thanks for being with us on Stadium as we stream our final hour. This is such a special edition. You can stream us on ValleySportsLive.com and the Valley Sports Live app. Guys, I'm just so excited. Yesterday, Chelsea, I was working, because I'm always working a lot, and I got a notification. And I thought this was so cool. I got it from the Washington Post and ESPN and all my friends. My phone was blowing up because everyone knows I love Taylor Swift. I'm a Swiftie. And so to hear and see that they were engaged. By the way, I thought the caption and the pictures on Instagram were absolutely perfect. I'm glad they had a couple of weeks to themselves before they announced it. Everything was wonderful. This is our royalty. I could not be happier that these two are going to be together forever, because they will be. And also, I cannot wait to talk about this for at least the next decade and follow them. Because guess what? They're going to have little Swiftie kids. It's going to be wonderful. And I am so in.
Do you think Travis is going to change his last name to Swift?
Swift Kelce. Back of the jersey. There we go.
Kelce Swift. All right.
Kelce.
So for people who are just tuning in, that was dripping in sarcasm.
Oh.
Jenks, I think every time he speaks about Taylor Swift, a little part of himself dies. And I think we need like a montage from like Coors Light that talks about like beer and twins and manly things. But here's the thing about the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce engagement. You can't look away. Like, you can't hide under a rock and be like, man, we're not going to talk about it. It was the biggest thing yesterday. This is what the people want. Even the people in the sports world were reacting to this. And here's the thing. I will say, in the hierarchy of celebrities, I am glad that we have a sports superstar in the mix there. Because it could be like Kim Kardashian and Kanye West again. Like, do we want that to be our royal couple here in America? I don't.
No.
So at least it's an NFL player, and at least they seem to be two good people.
I'm very happy for them. They seem to be great people by all accounts, and everyone's excited. It's just amazing to me how it's just permeated like every part of our society. You know, yesterday when I was at Commanders, the girls were losing their minds. Everyone was talking about it. And then I go home and the lovely Catherine is excited. I log on to Instagram. People are talking about it. It was leading newscasts yesterday. I walked in this morning into the break room. It's the first thing I heard on the break room TVs. Well, if you haven't heard, Taylor Swift and Travis, I'm like, you cannot go anywhere. It's just crazy how this is just absolutely just engaged anyone and everyone with a pulse. And even if you're not interested, it doesn't matter, because you're going to see it, you're going to hear about it, and it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, like imagine if you're like Lester Holt or like whoever does the news now, and you're like, I have won all these Pulitzer Prizes, I have talked about the war in the Middle East, and you're telling me our lead story today is Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce getting engaged?
Wild.
Like, I feel like a little part of him probably died yesterday. But listen, like, it's the top story. This is, you know, they make a big deal about the royal weddings in England. And I, like, never really got it. I'm like, listen, I don't follow the royals. I don't care. But, like, this truly is our royal wedding. Like, these are the two most famous people. But I will say, at least in America, these people worked for it. Like, Taylor Swift is talented. She is very good at what she does. and she has worked for her spot, you know, in superstardom. Same goes for like the Kelseys. Like, I keep seeing that picture floating around of them both at Cincinnati. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yes.
When they were in college, and they look like just like random frat guys, where it's like anybody in America, like a Mac football team, you could be like, oh, these are two brothers that played. And now these are like the superstars that we have. So yeah. I feel like people root for those type of stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there's no question, I think, that when you talk about American royalty, this is about as good as it gets, and it's people who mm-hmm. earned what they've accomplished. Taylor is brilliant. Travis Kelce is a Hall of Famer. And also, I think he's probably gearing up for what will probably be his final season. Like, this feels like his last hurrah. You know, he's getting married. Also, it's season number 13. That's Taylor's favorite number. It would be perfect. So he's also done a lot of work in the offseason. Like, wedding aside, he's lost 25 pounds, and he mm-hmm. went back to working on some of the plyometrics and some of the things that he did earlier in his career so that he could get out of breaks quicker and run tighter routes, and he kind of got away from that. I think he was and is super motivated because the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl in the way that they did to the Eagles, and he said, I don't want to go out like that. So now he's got his fiance, you know, right there waiting. They're going to plan a wedding, and I think he wants to go out as a champion and with the girl of his dreams, so maybe it comes together, and it's even more of this fairy tale ending.
Yeah, I don't know, though. Like, I don't know if this is the year for the Chiefs. Like, as much as we would love it to end that way, like, the way that the Chiefs are constructed, I'm not saying mm-hmm. they're not going to be a contender, but there are a lot of teams that look like they're better on paper than the Chiefs this year. So we'll see if Roger Goodell, like, you know, really buys into the love story. Because I will say this, from a money-making perspective, nobody is probably more happy about this than Roger Goodell. Like, his league does not need any help making money. Mm-hmm. But this is just another marketing scheme where the NFL continues to be king.
They're just going to continue to capitalize off of it, and they're going to make so much money. They're already a cash cow.
Right.
But the number of fans who aren't really football fans, but who are Taylor fans, who will learn more about the game, or who will follow the Chiefs, or who will watch Chiefs games just to see where Taylor is, where she's sitting, what is she wearing, what is she doing, is she blowing Travis kisses, let's look at that ring again, whatever it is. I mean, this is nothing but the NFL building on top of what is already like a massive empire. And it's not going to go away, which, you know, for me,
Let me ask you,
thrilled about that.
Yeah, sorry for cutting off there.
No,
Let me ask you this. How long do you think the positive spin lasts for Taylor and Travis? Because right now they look untouchable and they're so likable. But I think very similar to the sports world, mm-hmm. in the celebrity world, people don't love dominance. Like, people don't want to see you succeed for that long. Like, we see this with, I feel like, every top celebrity where you build them up, you build them up, you build them up. Okay, now we want to kick them down.
Yeah.
And, like, even with the Kansas City Chiefs, for the longest time, you see Patrick Mahomes, who is a very likable guy. And when they're at the height of their success, you're like, who would root against this team? Andy Reid just wants to eat cheeseburgers. But they fell from grace, like, from mm-hmm. a public opinion standpoint. I am not saying that they are bad people. I am just saying people grew tired of them and they wanted a shiny new toy. Do you think that's going to happen with Taylor and Travis?
No, because the Swifties won't let it happen. With Travis, sure, because people will criticize. I mean, last year we saw people criticize Travis Kelce. Like, is he fat? Is he gaining too much weight? Is it over for him? I mean, remember that? It was like, whoa, he's gotten big.
Yeah.
They said about Debo Samuel a few months ago. It's like, it's ridiculous. You get someone at the wrong angle and, oh, look at you, you're out of shape. It's kind of ridiculous. But when it comes to Taylor Swift, she's the exception to the rule. Like, you know that if you criticize her in any way, shape, or form, even if it's valid, and I'm not saying she's worthy of a bunch of criticism, I'm not saying that at all, but even a valid criticism will not be accepted by her fans. It's just like, you could say, I'm not really a fan of this album. It's like, why? Because you're a sexist? It's like, whoa, hey, no. You know, like the Swifties will come for you because they live in this bubble where that's the queen and you can't say anything about her that might disparage her or besmirch her in any way. And so they won't allow it, or they won't see it, I think is probably the bigger issue. And I don't expect them or her or him to do anything that would warrant that at all. But even if they did, I feel like, you know, once you're in with someone, you're in with them to the end, no matter what they do. And I kind of feel like Swifties are that way.
Yeah, I think this is just trouble for Travis, because it just feels like now if anything were to happen to this relationship, mm-hmm. like the hopes and dreams of this nation are riding on this relationship.
Like, if Taylor Swift ran around on Travis, he'd be like, well, he deserves it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, then you needed to treat her better. Maybe you should check yourself first. Travis, buddy, all eyes are on you, my friend.
Yeah, but think about the pressure for this engagement, too. Like, because I'm sure you felt a level of pressure proposing to Catherine.
Sure.
Just because, you know, this is somebody you want to be together with, you know, for the rest of your life. And she's extremely special and she deserves that. But, like, think about planning an engagement to somebody who is a billionaire and the biggest celebrity on the face of planet Earth. Do you think Travis felt any pressure? Or do you think it's still the old Travis Kelce that tweets out, I gave a squirrel a piece of bread?
Hopefully he's matured a little bit since then. Yeah, I think anyone, you know, ultimately I feel like that whether you're a billionaire, you're a celebrity, if you're just someone who works in a factory, it doesn't really matter. You know, at the end of the day, if you're getting ready to propose and get ready to ask someone to spend the rest of your life with you, then, you know, then there's already going to be pressure no matter what sort of money you're making, no matter what sort of fame you have, because I feel like they probably got through that at some point. Like, they've been together long enough where, okay, she's accustomed to his football fame and what that world is like, and he's been going with her on tour and been on stage with her, and he certainly understands what it is like to be a part of her world. And so once you get through that, love is love and people are people, and it's just about, hey, I'm about to ask someone to be with me forever.
Yeah, and I think we all saw the dynamic of their relationship, or they're just really good actors, which I don't know. Their dynamic seemed very genuine. Like, when she was on the podcast, I think it was a great chance for us to see how they are together. And it was just, it felt like they were yin and yang, where Taylor's really smart, and she's really thoughtful, and she talks a lot. And then Travis is just like, you're amazing. You're so smart. That just works. You know, and sometimes... Yeah. It just works out like that. So I am definitely rooting for them to be successful, as you always do. Like, nobody roots for people to be unhappy. But one thing that I don't like about this is that the Chiefs conspiracy people, you know, the people all year last year, they're like, the NFL's rigged. Everything goes to the Chiefs. These people are going to be unbearable this year. Like, if the Chiefs get any call, these people are going to be out with their pitchforks on TikTok.
Oh, don't you know it? It's just going to embolden the conspiracy theorists, is what it's going to do. And I did want to throw this in. Now, I saw this earlier, and I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try. So, of course, all these different brands are trying to capitalize on this engagement, right? So, Buffalo Wild Wings has offered to cater the wedding. I don't think Taylor Swift is going to allow Buffalo Wild Wings to cater the wedding, but... Good job, good effort. However, DoorDash is offering 13% off all orders if you put in the code 13 until tomorrow night at midnight Pacific time. So 13% off your order if you put in all caps 13 as a promo code. We're not getting paid by DoorDash. I'm just saying, if you want to eat something today and take advantage of this, maybe give that a shot.
Oh, you're definitely using that, right? Like, you're a DoorDash king.
I'm doing that immediately
that's
after
personal
the show.
For you.
This better work. And of course, it's like terms and conditions apply. And I'm sure so many people have used this code when I put it in. It's not going to work. But look, if I got to listen to this, if I got to watch this on Instagram all day long, which you know it's just going to be post after post, the first thing I saw this morning was, it's a great day to be in the Taylor Swift engaged era. I was like, whoa. Here we go. Buckle up, buddy. So, yes, I'm getting some DoorDash later on. I'm going to treat myself. Take advantage of it.
I feel like Cracker Barrel has to find a way to use this to, like, get their clientele back. Because I will say this. Cracker Barrel was founded about 20 minutes from where Taylor Swift went to high school. I know this because she went to high school in my hometown. So I don't know. There's a Tennessee connection there. I'm not sure if Taylor Swift has a big affinity for Cracker Barrel, but I'm saying the redemption arc is there.
And who's the Cracker Barrel guy? Uncle Herschel? Isn't that the guy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I've listened to a lot of music over the years, but nothing makes me happier than some Taylor Swift. That's how you bring everybody back in. Jake Butt, former Michigan Titan, talking Big Ten football next. Yo. Welcome back on a Wednesday. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up, we preview the Big Ten with former Michigan tight end Jake Butt, who is also an analyst for the Big Ten Network. We were talking about how it is fall weather here in D.C. where you are, and I am so happy because, as you know, I made the executive decision this weekend. I was going to go with a buddy who went to Ohio State. We were going to watch the game together, and I was like, I don't know. It could be weird. I don't do that. So, even though I love him, great guy. Because, you know, in a tense game, it can kind of get strange. So instead, I'm going to hang out with the Texas X's here in D.C. They have an entire bar, indoor, upstairs, downstairs, outdoors, all Texas fans. And they have an awesome outdoor setup where if you get there early enough, they have probably 5 or 6 big screen TVs outside, benches set up, food, a raffle, drinks. So we're going to get there early. We're going to be there, and it's going to be like 78 degrees for a high. It's going to be perfect.
Ooh, I think that's my favorite scenario, is drinking beer on a patio while watching college football.
Yeah.
Like, with 78 degrees, like, that's heaven. If they don't have that in heaven, I don't want to go.
Then send me straight to hell. That's what I say. If this isn't the way it is, send me to hell, and I'll cheer for Kennesaw State. Whatever it takes. Well, we got to talk about what to expect this weekend and in the Big Ten. So we bring in Jake Butt and Liz for Big Ten Network and Sirius XM Radio. Of course, former Michigan tight end. So, Jake, I want to ask you about your Wolverines, but the game of the weekend is Texas-Ohio State, and I am clearly biased. But then again, you probably are too because you went to Michigan. What's going to happen in this game?
Oh, man, your guess is as good as mine. And, you know, I've never hung around Texas fans, so I don't know. You'll have to give me the scoop on the other side of this, of how they treat you and what's it like watching the game, because I do know what it's like hanging around Ohio State fans, so interested to get the report. But, listen, I really don't know. There's a lot of new faces here. I mean, there's 2 new quarterbacks. I know Arch did get some starts and playing time last fall. Ohio State introducing 2 new coordinators. I'm really interested in the home field element here. I do think that benefits the Buckeyes, just because Ohio State did a walkthrough yesterday and Patricia and Hartline got to get into their spots that they'll be in the game this weekend and kind of call a mock game just so they can get used to that role. But, you know, I think a lot of people seem to be leaning towards Texas in this game. But what I would say for the Buckeyes that benefits them, even with new coordinators and a new quarterback, they have by far the best offensive player in Jeremiah Smith and by far the best defensive player in Caleb Downs. And at the end of the day, I do think that counts for something.
Yeah. If you look at the odds to win the Big Ten, Ohio State is the favorite at +190. Penn State, a very talented team on paper, who is returning their quarterback and a bunch of other guys, probably the most talented running back room in the country, they're +240. Do you think there's some disrespect there for Penn State in the odds?
No, I wouldn't say it's disrespect. I honestly think it's fair, and if I was Penn State, I'd be perfectly okay with that. I think those odds speak to a mental block for Penn State. I mean, they've had teams that have been capable, maybe not favored, of beating Ohio State. They've had opportunities to beat Ohio State. Last year was a great opportunity, but they weren't able to capitalize, and Ohio State was. It's a mental block for James Franklin. Like, you look at his historic record against top 5 teams, look at his record against Ohio State, even Michigan, and that's what that discrepancy in odds speaks to. And then I'd also say, hey, Penn State has to travel to Columbus. Like, their path to the Big Ten title, they have to go into Columbus and pull off a win against this talented Buckeyes team. But I completely agree with you. This roster is ready to roll. I did our Big Ten camp tour this year and got to interview the players. It gave me the same feeling I got talking to Ohio State's players last year and Michigan's players 2 years ago, talking to Drew Aller and Singleton and Denai Dennis Sutton. Just like, wow, this is a veteran, mature team. Really, it's a team with NFL players that decided to come back on campus because they wanted to win a national title. Now, they're getting paid well in today's world, too, in the NIL space. But that program is completely aligned, all in on their goals to win the Big Ten title, and excuse me, even the national title more so. And I don't think they're too worried about the odds makers.
Jake, when talking to those players and the coaches, did you sense that they feel that pressure or that responsibility to finally get Penn State over the hump, or is it something that they're oblivious to?
I would say neither, honestly. I think they I wouldn't say they feel it. They're fully aware of it. And what they told us is that they are embracing it. I mean, that's frankly why Drew Aller could be in the NFL right now. He came back. Singleton and Allen, both their running backs, could be in the NFL. They came back. Number of offensive linemen, NFL, came back. There's defensive players that could be playing on Sundays. They all came back. Jim Knowles, they went out and paid him nearly $4 million a year, highest paid defensive coordinator in college football. Like, he chose to leave Ohio State to be a part of Penn State because he believes this team can win that national title. So everyone is here for an exact reason. They understand that with that comes pressure, but they believe that they have the group to get it done.
It does feel like it's a top-heavy conference to me, where it feels like there's only a few teams that could really win it. But every year, there's a team that kind of comes out of nowhere and, like, surprises people. Last year was Indiana, so I think everybody's asking, who is this year's Indiana? I suppose it could be Indiana themselves, but I know some people are throwing other teams like Nebraska around. Illinois has a pretty easy schedule. Who's the other team out of the Big Ten that people should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, I would just expand and say Nebraska. I'm really interested in them. They were our first stop of the camp tour, and they got a pretty favorable schedule. It's been a mental block for the Cornhuskers as well. I mean, Illinois, part of the reason everyone's so high on them this year is they had a 10-win season. Well, they were 5-1 in one-score games. Nebraska has been the exact opposite historically. They just cannot find ways to win these one-score games. But watching them at camp, it certainly feels like Raiola's ready to take a stride, and I love what they did by securing Dana Holgorsen as their long-term play caller. And they have two really important games, Cincinnati at Arrowhead. Cincinnati's a good team. I mean, that's not going to be an easy game, but it's a great opportunity for Nebraska to win against a quality opponent to start to shift that mindset. And then they host Michigan week 4 at home. Michigan will be starting a freshman quarterback and playing without their head coach, Sherrone Moore. That's a very winnable game against a really tough opponent. If Nebraska can pull that off and Cincinnati off, and they start off to a 4-0 start, that's going to be a huge mental shift as they kind of get into that back half of what's a very workable schedule. I'd throw out one more team here is, I guess, USC. I would throw in them. I think they deserve more credit than they get, but they're kind of a blue blood that it wouldn't really surprise anybody. Washington, though, in the Pacific Northwest, I'm really high on. I love their quarterback, Damon Williams. Their head coach, Jed Fish, is one of the great offensive minds in our sport. Denzel Boston is an all-conference returning receiver. Jonah Coleman is one of the best backs in college football. And then the key there is they play Ohio State at home, Oregon at home, Illinois at home. They have not lost at home since 2021. That is a really tough place to play. The fans turn out. It's inclement weather. It's a really long road trip for Illinois and Ohio State. It's a challenging place to play. If they can win two of those games, man, they'd be in a position to make the playoff run.
We're talking with Jake Butt, the analyst for Big Ten Network and SiriusXM Radio, former Michigan tight end. So you mentioned the freshman quarterback for the Wolverines, Bryce Underwood. What is the ceiling for Michigan this year?
Yeah, I mean, the ceiling, you're probably looking at, I would say, 10 or 11 wins. You know, I don't think this is a team built to go completely undefeated. And, you know, Oklahoma on the road is tough. Nebraska on the road is tough. They have a back-to-back stretch of USC on the road, then Washington at home, and obviously play the Buckeyes in the last game of the regular season. Like, that's not a schedule you feel great about going undefeated in. But I'd say the ceiling is set by how quickly Bryce can come along and what Chip Lindsey can do to help him. You know, you have a talented quarterback. I'm 6'5", guys. I play tight end. And I'm standing eye to eye, shoulder to shoulder with Bryce Underwood. He is a strong, good-looking kid. The ball jumps out of his hands. J.J. McCarthy was a top 10 pick, and Bryce has more physical gifts. I'm not saying he's a better quarterback at this point, obviously, but he's got more physical tools than J.J. The best thing a coaching staff can do for a young quarterback is give him a great defense, which Michigan absolutely has, in a dominant run game, which Michigan absolutely has. I think the key there, traveling on the road to Oklahoma and Nebraska, don't go into that game trying to prove anything with your young quarterback. Do the best you can to establish a run game, take the crowd out of it, and give him clean, easy, simple looks off of play action to build his confidence. Because if you've got a quarterback with that talent playing confident and seeing the game, that I would lean more towards expecting the ceiling to be hit for this season for Michigan.
All right, so the big question now is, can the Big Ten win a national championship for the third year in a row?
So that is the ultimate question. Can they? Absolutely they can. I would not be shocked if Penn State won it, Ohio State, even Oregon as a team. Michigan's talented. Gosh, I even think Indiana's got a better roster. I like Indiana's roster better this year than last year. Their schedule's a little bit more challenging. But can any of those teams win it? Yes, Penn State is probably the team most equipped to win it. They have the same kind of DNA that Ohio State and Michigan had the years they won it, but it's the mental block for Penn State. We haven't quite seen them get over it, but I would not be shocked. And, you know, I'd be really happy for Drew Aller and James Franklin. James, he catches a ton of heat for his record in some of these games, and I still think he's a great coach. He's beloved by his players. Drew Aller is extremely talented and has been humble and gracious with his time with us and myself with the network. So would love to see these guys make a run. But obviously, as you guys know, it is just not an easy path in today's college football landscape.
Jake, is there a team that you're keeping an eye on maybe outside of the Big Ten? I know you've mentioned USC and you mentioned the Huskies, and I know some people like Illinois, but is there one team that you're like, you know what, if things fall right for these guys, we might be talking about them at the end of the season?
Well, so are you saying a team, like, you're not thinking, like, you're not asking me to talk about, like, Notre Dame, right?
No. Like, someone maybe a little bit off the radar.
Huh. That's a good question. I guess maybe South Carolina.
Okay.
And maybe, I don't know if you consider them off the radar. I think they're very similar to Illinois, and that's what made that bowl game so interesting last year. You know, South Carolina is one of those teams, just like the Big Ten, SEC is a little bit top-heavy, but South Carolina is consistently right there knocking on the door. And it's one of those things where, you know, if you're not Alabama or Texas or Georgia, in order to make a deep run, you need the stars to align a little bit. They got a bunch of talent on the roster, a great quarterback they're excited about. And I think if the schedule can line up well and they stay healthy, they might be able to make a deep run.
All right, so we have like a minute left. How many teams should be in the college football playoff?
Listen, I really like Tony Petitti's model of the 16-team model, and really here's why. I think inherently when you allow the committee to make decisions, there's going to be bias. And what Petitti did, or what he's trying to do, is create like structure, mathematical structure, where it's, hey, you know, the record in your conference is going to allow you to get into the playoff game. So you still play a conference title, 1-2. Winner gets a bye. Loser gets home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs. And then you have the third team against the sixth team. Third team would be a home play-in playoff game. Fourth team against the fifth team. Fourth would be a home play-in playoff game. And then the same would be true for the SEC. Instead of having the committee vote on what's likely extremely subjective of what teams should get in, why not just play the games? You know, it would allow us to – suddenly November becomes so much more interesting because it's just like the NFL playoffs. You'd have 10 or 11 teams fighting for those top six spots, so 10 or 11 teams are in the hunt. And then the other problem that solves is, what about the back half of the Big Ten or the SEC? Teams that just – you know, like a Northwestern or a Maryland or a Purdue, like, they're not going to win the Big Ten championship on any given year. But can they feel like they're in the top 10 of the conference every few years, which means that they'll be in the hunt – for a potential play-in playoff game? Absolutely. So I think it would create more parity throughout the conference as well. But, you know, I know the SEC isn't too fond of that model. Neither is the Big 12 and the ACC. So I don't envy any of these commissioners. It's a tough job, but I appreciate the work they do.
Check him out as analyst for the Big Ten Network and Sirius XM Radio. It is the former Michigan tight end, Jake Butt. Jake, really good stuff this morning, and thanks for helping us preview the conference.
Of course. Thank you. Guys,
you
take
bet.
Care.
I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, got our best bets, got our donkster here ready to go as well. Chelsea, have you seen this video of Will Smith performing overseas? Like, he's on tour right now because he released his first full-length album in like 20 years this year. And there's this video going around the internet where it's a video of him performing, and everyone is crushing this video because it's pretty clear that the audience members are AI. Like, it just doesn't look right. And so people are zooming in on different members of the audience. And like one person, because AI doesn't always get it right. And like one person has like crushed fingers, and like they're like cheering for Will, fingers are crushed. Another person has like a Yankees hat or something on, but the logo is all messed up. Like, you can just watch the video and say, this seems a little bit off. But I've heard a lot of people talk about this where they are definitely generating bigger crowds. Even some of the signs don't make sense. Like, one of them says, you helped me get through cancer, but it's not really written correctly. So whoever had this idea, and look, we haven't verified this, but it's pretty clear this is a fake. I encourage you to check it out. It's weird.
I don't know what it is, but AI, like, rarely gets fingers right. Like, there's something about fingers that, like, yeah. AI cannot figure out. Because I've seen this plenty of times. But this just feels like the 2025 version of something that, like, we've been doing for a while. Because remember when Will Smith was super popular in the TV scheme of things?
Yeah.
We had laugh tracks. You know, you would have laugh tracks where it's like, hey, this is people laughing, when you know for a fact these are not real people laughing. And then we had, remember when the Atlanta Falcons pumped in crowd noise and they got in trouble for it?
I forgot,
like,
about that.
What are we doing? So, like, this has always existed in, like, some shape or form. But, like, now with AI, there are so many things where you have to have your, like, critical thinking cap on at all times. Like, every time I watch a video on Instagram, I'm like, is this even real? The worst ones are those really nice houses that are, like, you know, it's like a mansion that's, like, in the middle of a jungle. Or you see, like, really cool interior design ideas. And then, like, there is a plant in the house that, like, has no base to it. It's just like leaves, and there's like no roots. And you're like, what is that fern doing in the middle of the staircase?
Yes.
You're like, oh, this is not real and not attainable.
Even sometimes on TikTok, you'll see that. You're like, oh, this looks cool. And you're like, wait a second, this isn't right. You have to watch everything with an even more critical eye than ever. I had to tell a friend of mine, like, I need you to check these videos before you send them to me. She sent me, like, and she's a really good friend of mine, but she sent me, like, three straight videos that weren't real. I was like, this, I said, hey, I said, I appreciate you sending this. This isn't real. She's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. A couple days later, oh, my God, have you seen this? I was like, hey, I double-checked this. It's not real. It's a fake. She's like, oh, my God, I need to double-check these. I was like, just maybe get caught up. I think it was, what was it? It was, and this was so obvious, like, some of these are just common sense. It was, do you remember this from a few months ago, where it was an A's game and they had a female announcer and someone hit a home run, or maybe this is last year when they weren't in Sacramento, I think it was, and the ball, it's a home run, and you hear the announcer go, whoa, that's over the wall. What is that? What do they call that? And the color commentator's like, well, that's a home run. And people are like, I can't believe this woman has this job and she doesn't know. I was like, guys, this is 1,000% a fake. And of course it was.
It's crazy to think how much that can shape, like, the narratives and the thoughts of, like, our country.
Yes.
Like, I know people have talked about it, like, at the highest level when it comes to the election, but even, I don't know if you've kept following this, like, Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni story, which, like, who cares at this point? But apparently they, like, spent $30,000 a month on people to comment things about Justin Baldoni. Be like, Team Justin. Like, they paid people to do this, and they paid, like, bots to, like, just comment on Instagram and shape the narrative. People do this. It's crazy.
That's why I'm going to start doing that. This Jinx guy always crushes his bets. I'm going, like, 2-11.
Right?
But I'm
going to
shape the narrative.
Where are bots?
Yeah. I got some extra cash because I'm going to save some today on DoorDash when I put in 13. Take advantage of old Taylor and Travis. Yeah. Coming next to Bet Sweats, Sammy P and Joe O preview the Chiefs. And they will react to Taylor and Travis like everyone is going to do from now until the end of time. Jeff Schwartz from Fox Sports will be along at 9:40. Paul Charchi and Charch is talking fantasy at 10:20. And longtime baseball center fielder Kevin Pillar joins at 11 o'clock. Here we go. Let's pick some winners.
Time to place your bets.
All right, a couple squad plays. I got a bigger card, which is normally the way we go. What do you got, Chelsea?
Yeah, let's go plus money for the best bet of the day. Going to take the Blue Jays on the run line today for plus 115. I think this is a good price on one of the best teams in all of the American League. And plus, they're quietly one of the best run line teams in all of baseball. I didn't realize this, but if you look at their run line record over the course of the season, 79-54. And even more impressive, they have a great run line record at home this year. We talk about this in baseball betting all the time. When you take home favorites on the run line, sometimes it's tricky because if they're only leading by one, they don't play the bottom of the ninth. But even with that built into the number, they've still been really good. 41-24 again on the run line at home this year. Plus, Toronto has a pitching advantage here in Eric Lauer, who's been great for the Blue Jays all season long. 8-2, 2.76 ERA. Plus, he is on extended rest. Since Shane Bieber came back to the rotation, he was pushed back. So he should be nice and fresh for this game. Meanwhile, they're playing the Twins today, which, enough said, the Twins sold everybody when it came to the trade deadline. And plus, they have Simeon Woods Richardson going today, 5-4 with a 4.24 ERA, and he has not lasted five innings in any of his last three starts. So I don't trust this bullpen. I know the Blue Jays bullpen gave it up last night, but I think the Blue Jays get their licks back tonight. It's the better team overall. They've been great at home this year, 43-22. So let's take the Blue Jays on the run line for a little plus money today.
Okay. I will be on that as well. I'm going to go Rangers on the money line, minus 155. So Nathan Eovaldi was going to get the start in this game, and now he's out probably for the season with a rotator cuff injury. That's a bummer. So the Rangers are going with Jacob Latz instead, which means it is a bullpen game for the Rangers, but that's okay because this is one of the best bullpens in the American League. Moreover, the Angels are going with Jack Kochanowicz, and he has been awful on the road. 1-6 with an ERA of 6.20. Shut out the Rangers in one appearance over 4 2/3, but then gave up 8 runs in the other over 2 2/3. The Angels bullpen is really bad, so we are sticking with the Rangers on the money line, minus 155.
Yeah, I feel like sneakily I'm liking the slate a little bit more than I thought I did on first glance because I actually have two bets today. Okay. Also going to be on the Brewers today. Again, one of the best teams in all of baseball, best run differential in all of baseball, and you get them at a good price today at home. Brewers at minus 149. We shopped around, found you the best price. And I understand that the Diamondbacks are a scrappy bunch, but still, the Brewers, if you look at all of the numbers, they line up for you here. And plus, I think the pitching matchup kind of favors them today if you look at the Brew Crew. So I'm going to be on the Brewers, best team in baseball, at a price under minus 150. I think that's a solid play as well.
Ooh, I like that. I will be playing that as well. I mean, like you said, at that price, how do you not take it? Mm-hmm. So I've got two bets on this game. So who knows how this can go. It could be feast or famine here. But I'm going to go D-backs Brewers over 8. I'm going to play it down from 8. Nook. Found it at minus 129. I like that price. Both sides on this or in this series have been really hot. We saw 12 runs in Game 1, 17 runs in Game 2. And when you bet the Diamondbacks, look, they're really good in the first 5. but I think Quinn Priester can maybe hold them back a little bit. But ultimately, the real key here, I think, is that Diamondbacks bullpen, which has been something you fade all season long. Milwaukee, I think, wins this game, and they get a couple late to put us over the top here. So we're going to go over 8, minus 129. A pretty full card for us.
Yeah, I was going to say you should do a same-game parlay for a little bit of pizza money or something. I haven't done many same-game parlays for baseball, but I need to start, especially like if you think they're correlated. But I'm saving that for football season. I can't wait for like 1,000 same-game parlays on a Monday night.
You need to do that, and you need to lay the 12.5 with NC State against ECU. Do it.
No, it's a rivalry game.
Do it.
They beat us a lot, Jinx.
Whatever.
No.
ECU. We have a break. All right, we got to bring in the Donkster here and then get to Joe. Oh, Donkster, what are you up to? Why is your microphone stuck into your neck? What's going on?
Did everyone hear the big celebrity news yesterday?
Yes, we all heard about Taylor and Travis.
I don't know who they are.
Oh.
But I do know that Scarlett Johansson and Jonathan Bailey are teasing fans with another intimate moment before the release of Jurassic World Rebirth.
Oh, keeping up with the celebs, it sounds thrilling.
It is, and it has fans asking, when will one of them go for the slip of the tongue?
I don't think anyone is asking that. Do you have a bet?
Braves! Money line against the fish.
Okay. Good job. Coming up next on Bet Sweats. Well, I don't know. That's why we bring in our good buddy, Joe O. I don't see him, but maybe he's there. Joe O, are you with us?
No. Is the Joe O in the room with us?
Is the Joe O... Joe O, if you are in the room with us, speak now.
Speak now.
No.
Taylor Swift album. I think he heard us talking about Taylor Swift and was like, no. I can't do it.
He
I tried, but I can't.
I think I saw him for a second. And then when we said, hey, coming up next on Bad Sweats, they'll talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. He was like, nope. Turn the camera off.
He said,
off.
No, we're not.
He bounced.
He's like, the hell
not
we
on
are.
My watch. Maybe Sammy P will. I heard you guys talk about it for an hour. No thanks. All right, Joel. Maybe next time, buddy. Well, that's it for us here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Oh, just so thrilled for these guys. I'm going to go on a deep dive on Instagram today. I can't wait. That's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. Go out and have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.